Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I know this week every pundit is talking about the debate. I might discuss it next week when the circus dies down a little bit. There's just something to be addressed concerning the divine providence of the whole thing. The Democrats are supposed to be the cool party, the party of the youth. And here they're running an elderly, deteriorating candidate. Is this a plan or is this a mistake? Well, I might discuss the whole thing next week, unless the apocalypse occurs or some other event. On today's program, I'd like to discuss New Jersey Assembly Bill 3446, the Right to Read Bill. It's a piece of legislation put forth by the American Library Association to defend the inclusion of explicit sexual LGBTQ material in public libraries and school libraries. The same bill is being pushed in Maryland. It just passed, and now it's come to New Jersey. This is all coming from the American Library Association. The association is administered by pro-LGBTQ leftist ideologues that are fully invested in queer theory. Because these library administrators are all coming out of secular state universities that teach a humanistic basis for morality. The president of the American Library Association calls herself a lesbian Marxist. So no wonder they have sponsored drag queen story hours in libraries. The Montana and the Texas state chapters of the ALA have broken away from the parent organization, the American Library Association, because of its Marxist views. Of course, the New York Library Association is supporting the ALA and opposes the backlash. So the ALA is working to get states to pass what they call the Right to Read Bill. And this is another teachable moment regarding our national depravity and how it operates under a cover of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Notice the title, The Right to Read. Justification for the dissemination of immorality is that it's a right. And here we again see the new foundation for morals in America, foundation that unbelievers have bought into, that freedom of conscience and individual moral autonomy ought to guide all moral decisions and legislation. What is moral and just is what gives people the personal right to do what they want to do, to be who they want to be. Individual autonomy and human rights have been the tool to justify evil. And those who oppose explicitly sexual materials in libraries are now successfully being depicted as book banners. Because in America today, the greatest evil is to deny people their right to moral autonomy. So the left is saying no book should be banned. But of course they mean no LGBTQ book, because they would ban in an instant any book stating that marriage is between one man and one woman, that there are only two genders, that a boy cannot become a girl, and that people need to submit to their God-given gender. There are plenty of children's books that teach that Christian worldview about gender and marriage. So this right to read legislation, sexually immoral teachings in libraries, is coming about because morality is no longer based on the law of nature and nature's God, but upon human desire. In this realize, the people in favor of and who are pushing for sexually explicit LGBTQ materials in public schools are considering themselves the epitome of virtue because they affirm man. And those who oppose are considered evil because they oppose what the ungodly want, the affirmation of man in his sinful condition. just like the early Christians were called haters of the human race. When the Roman historian Tacitus wrote about Nero burning Christians at the stake, he wrote, "They were convicted not so much of the crime of burning the city, but of hatred against mankind." Now, one of the main reasons the American Library Association is pushing states to pass some form of the Freedom to Read bill is they know they have a legal problem in pushing these books on libraries. The righteous obscenity laws from our past condemn them. As in this NBC news article supporting the ALA, new waves of bills targeting libraries is a threat to our democracy, American Library Association warns. The association founded in 1876, condemns legislation that would threaten librarians and other educators with criminal prosecution for possessing obscene materials. See, states have obscenity laws. You can be prosecuted for exposing children to sexually explicit materials. Even federal laws are clear concerning the crime of giving children pornographic material. So within the wording of this bill is an exception for librarians, giving them immunity from prosecution. Librarians can disseminate sexually explicit material for children because allegedly it has an educational purpose. Now, out of the 50 states, I believe 39 have already amended their obscenity laws to allow for explicit LGBTQ materials in public libraries. There are 11 states that have not. Believe it or not, New Jersey has yet to amend its obscenity laws to give immunity to librarians. And so this is why this bill is being pushed. This bill, 3446, has been rewritten from its original draft from 46 pages down to 9. And in the new version, our state obscenity laws will not be changed. But nevertheless, the bill still exempts librarians from prosecution. Quote from a summation of the bill, "School librarians, staff members, and any staff member of a public library shall be immune from civil and criminal liability for good faith actions performed pursuant to the provisions of the bill." The substitute bill no longer includes amendments to the obscenity statutes providing for an affirmative defense. Now, also in addition to protecting librarians defensively, the bill also describes parental objections as harassment, allowing leftist librarians and school administrators to be able to go on the legal offensive against parents who object. Already several parents have been sued by high school librarians for harassment. The librarian strategy is to go on the offensive, you know, since these librarians fear being sued and prosecuted for disseminating sexually explicit material to children. One parent in New Jersey took some of the school library materials to her local chief of police, and the officer clearly affirmed that this material violates New Jersey obscenity laws and needs to be prosecuted. She then took the material and the statement from the chief of police to her local state attorney, but being a Democrat, he would not charge the librarian. I believe it was then that the librarian turned around and sued this parent, claiming that the parent misrepresented her, that this librarian was actually providing material not for the sake of pleasure, but for the sake of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So then, who decides what books belong in school libraries? Who writes the standards? Well, the bill states that school districts can create committees to recommend books that should be removed. However, policies will be created by the New Jersey Commissioner of Education in consultation with the Library Association. And you know where that leads. Our state's Commissioner of Education is on the left, and he'll get all the support he needs from the American Library Association. You know, notice that the state is determining moral standards. Parents no longer have the final say in what should be morally taught in public schools. So rather than discuss more details of the bill, let's discuss some of the lies that underpin the bill, the justifications, the deceptions that are getting people to buy into sexually explicit materials in public schools. And so we turn to a key verse in this regard, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. Woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood and sin as if with cart ropes. The picture and the truth is that with every sin, there's a lie to justify it. So iniquity is dragged along, pulled along with a falsehood or a lie. Alexander Solzhenitsyn explained in his Gulag Archipelago, he explained the Soviet prison system for political dissenters. And Solzhenitsyn wrote, ideology gives evil doing its long sought justification and gives the evildoer the necessary steadfastness and determination. Without the evildoer and his ideology, there would have been no archipelago, no Soviet gulag. The ideologues he's referring to are the false teachers of Marxism. Marxist activists use high-sounding rhetoric and reasoning to connect free market capitalists to oppression and injustice. And therefore, since these people who believe in biblical private property rights were depicted as the cause of all evils in society, of course they must be put in jail. Solzhenitsyn's point is that without false teaching, the public would not have so easily embraced Marxism and persecuted and jailed anti-Marxists. It takes false teachers not to create the sin, because the sin of greed and envy is already in the human heart. But false teachers give it mental consent and justification. And once sin is justified through false reasoning, it suppresses the conscience so that one can do more evil. In that one believes by doing evil, one is actually doing good. And when evil is thought of as good, then evil practices explode on the scene. But again, it takes false teachers to redefine evil and good and hence suppress the conscience. You know, we see this in Islam. False teaching that allows for sexual immorality. The promise of many virgins in heaven justifies polygamy. And the raping of women who are non-Muslims because jihadist theology justifies punishing those who are considered unbelievers. Even 9/11. It took false ideology to inspire these jihadists to commit suicide and take the lives of thousands. Here's an article. Islamic terrorist group in Africa, Boko Haram, kidnapped a pastor and is demanding ransom because as far as their Islamic theology is concerned, this is righteousness. And the atrocities under ISIS were instigated by false Islamic teachers. The lust, the violence is already in the human heart, but false teaching inflames it. Therefore, false teachers and those who embrace false teachers commit the greater evil, because it's a greater level of human depravity and it deceives others into sin. All people will struggle with lust and bitterness and envy, but at least they'll feel a pang of conscience over it. But sinners will create false ideology to reimagine evil as good, to suppress the conscience, and to give themselves a feeling of self-righteousness when they sin, as if they're social justice warriors coming to the aid of the oppressed, even fighting for God and being on his side. As it says in John chapter 16, the day is going to come when those who kill you will think they're doing service for God. So false teachers justify sin. False teachers of Marxism, the false teachers of Islam, false teachers of the Nicolaitans and the Gnostics, Revelation chapter 2, and the false teachers of humanism and LGBTQ ideology. And this is why there's an outbreak of evil in our nation. False teachers in our universities, the humanists are teaching and applying their worldview to overturn traditional Christian moral law. By the way, we hear many today who say that the problem isn't being an ideologue, as if the problem in society occurs when simply people get strong metaphysical beliefs. But no, Christians are ideologues. We hold to the ideology, the truth of the gospel, and we hold to it strongly. The problem is not ideology. The problem is evil ideology. Ideology that justifies sins. But blaming ideology is just another deceptive false teaching of the false teachers. Because of their belief in moral relativism, they believe the problem is simply believing in something too strongly. Anyway, so according to the prophet Isaiah, people drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood. Ideology gives evildoers their long-sought justification. What's interesting is that two verses later, in Isaiah 5:20, we have a second woe upon the nation, the premier verse describing our current cultural immorality. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So the falsehood that is dragging iniquity is the calling of evil good and good evil. That is what's justifying sin. And that verse describes America and the whole world today. The immorality of LGBTQ is being called good. It's being called affirmation, freedom, equality, equity, self-determination. So therefore, why not have the good LGBTQ explicit sexual materials taught in public schools? And the good, the opposing of sexual immorality, is being called evil. Let me throw in an example of the reversal. On April 30th, the Biden Department of Health and Human Services enacted the Safe, Appropriate Foster Care Replacement Requirements. We all expected this to come. This requires child welfare agencies to place foster children only with families who have committed to establishing an environment that supports the child's LGBTQI plus status or identity. And this is not just for parents who are fostering children who are questioning their gender, but for the parents of all children being fostered, because these foster children may someday question their gender, and the foster parents need to affirm the gender rebellion. The foster parents need to pass an LGBTQ affirmation test. Quote, under the new rules, foster care providers must use the child's identified pronouns and chosen name and allow the child to dress in a way that reflects their self-identity, their gender identity, and expression. Foster parents are required to establish an environment that supports the child's LGBTQ status or identity. We know just 20 years ago, parents pushing LGBTQ on children was unacceptable. So why is this happening? Because the ideology of gender choice is being taught as righteousness. And because, as I've said, humanists base their morality not upon the law of God, the law of nature and nature's God, but upon human desire. So if people want to be transgender, it must be righteous, because what people want is now the basis for morality. Hence, evil is being called good and good is being called evil, And the ideology drags the iniquity along with the cords of falsehood. All this ideology is behind the Freedom to Read bill. Now let's discuss more about the ideological justification, the falsehoods being espoused by those behind the Freedom to Read bill. You know, it's just important to understand how the ungodly are now justifying everything. Let's not be deceived by the way they're twisting values, how personal freedom is being exalted above the law of God, which is the excuse that the ungodly have given throughout history. But here's the language. Rights. Minority rights must be supported. Even if you claim that the majority of parents object to sexually explicit materials in public schools, if some parents want it for their children, the state must allow and protect minority rights. This is what happens when the state has no moral compass except the will of the people. Civil rights are used to justify every depravity. Second, freedom of speech. The transgender should have the freedom to espouse their views and have them supported in the libraries. Speech is protected, so you can't ban their speech from libraries. And this is what happens when there's no belief in moral absolutes, when a nation is no longer Christian. Freedom of speech is a license for anything. Third, consent. As long as the child consents. Consent today is also used to justify everything. Since teens can give consent to an abortion, and teens can give consent to puberty blockers, and give consent to changing their gender, then it follows that they should be able to give consent to sexually explicit materials. All there needs to be is consent. Because what is right is determined by what a teenager wants and what he feels. And like sexual transitioning is considered care, it's being called gender-affirming care to cloak mutilation, sterilization, and castration. Sexually explicit LGBTQ materials in public schools is considered psychological care. To limit sexual expression is to not care, to be cruel. So to be a good person, one must affirm people's sexual preferences and gender feelings. John Davison, in his book, Pagan America, the book that I was reviewing for the last 2 weeks, has a whole chapter describing how consent has become the moral justification for depravity. Quote, "In the context of the trans debate, this misapplication of consent always occurs alongside an insistence of the rights and bodily autonomy of children. Boys have a right to be girls, and girls should have the right to be boys. They also have a right to be exposed to sexually explicit materials at school, to learn about homosexuality and transgender sex and alternative pronouns. Likewise, they have a right to be exposed to adults in sexually explicit contexts, whether at a drag queen story hour hosted by a local library, attending a gay pride parade, and drag shows featuring sexualized dance routines performed by adult men. All under the banner of inclusion and tolerance, sexually explicit drag performances marketed to families with small children, including toddlers and infants, have become increasingly common and increasingly celebrated on the left. This creed of individual autonomy and subjective morality is the logical endpoint of the post-Christian and post-reason worldview of pagan America. It's a worldview in which there can be no valid objections, even to something as perverse and monstrous as the castration and mutilation of children," unquote. And we can add to that, individual autonomy and subjective morality is even used to justify giving children pornography. So this is where godless moral relativism leads. the library book issue is just one fruit of this whole transgender ideology, which also justifies minors having sex change, men and women sports, the change of pronouns in the English language, and the removal of terms like father and mother, son and daughter, boys and girls. Now, biblically, this is calling evil good and good evil. And one more word from the prophets to explain what's going on here. Ezekiel chapter 22. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. They believe there is moral equivalency because they don't want to believe in sin and judgment. Like Cain, they want to believe their actions are just as valid as Abel's. Now, I've mentioned this before, but C.S. Lewis in the 1950s saw this coming. In his book that most people don't read, Pilgrim's Regress, which is an allegory of his own conversion experience, C.S. Lewis has the main character captured and put into a dungeon by a giant called the Spirit of the Age. And the only way he's able to escape the grasp of the giant is by exposing the lie that he was being fed. Quote, he says to one of the guards guarding the prison, "You're trying to pretend that unlike things are alike. You're trying to make us think that milk is the same sort of thing as sweat or dung. Are you a liar or a fool that you see no difference between that which nature casts out as refuse and that which she stores up for food?" And that's exactly what ungodly relativists are doing today. In their relativism, they can't distinguish between the clean and the unclean, and they become fools. The lesson, the ungodly left is trying to make a moral equivalency between transgenderism and God's plan for genders, a moral equivalency between homosexuality and God's plan for marriage. And that's why they've fallen into darkness and have begun to justify the unthinkable. I had a Christian friend of mine who testified against the Freedom to Read bill ask me, "What are we to say to these reprobates? They don't listen. What do you say to people who think that they're righteous in their perversions?" Well, the arguments that conservatives are making aren't getting any traction. If conservatives argue for the rights of parents, the supporters of the bill argue for the rights of transgender parents. If conservatives argue that students shouldn't be exposed to the material, the supporters of the bill argue it's their own personal choice. At a New Jersey hearing on this matter, a New Jersey librarian who was a leader in the state's association, when asked to define pornography, said there is no such thing as pornography, which shows what we're up against. These people are complete materialists. They believe all sexual behavior is natural and shouldn't be concealed in any way. These books, these materials in the libraries are simply pictures and stories of people doing what they do naturally sexually. So the supporters of this explicit sexual material in public schools are ideologically amoral. All the arguments conservatives make for human rights and freedom only support the foundation of leftism itself. The only way to address this issue is by explaining that what they're proposing is morally evil in the sight of God. The only way to break free from the spirit of this age is to return to a belief that there are moral absolutes given to us by God. We need to say that transgenderism and homosexuality is morally wrong. And you will hear gasps in the audience, but that's the only argument that's going to stop America from turning into Sodom and Gomorrah. Those who believe other legal arguments will work are only kidding themselves. Libertarian freedoms and the Constitution is not enough. The people and the state need to declare for the lordship of Jesus Christ and the truth of Christianity. Conservatives need to, and I believe they finally will someday realize this, that there can be no morality without the acknowledgement of God. And certainly Christians need to also realize this. Now, it doesn't matter if legislators reject an appeal to God and his law, claiming that this is not possible in a pluralistic republic, we need to proclaim it anyway. The bill, 3446, the Freedom to Read bill, passed the New Jersey State Assembly and will likely be passed by the Senate and be signed into law. This is the spirit of the age. But have confidence that it's all going to soon collapse. In the words of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, one word of truth shall outweigh the whole world. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.